This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Epstein's creepy dentist chair on his Lolita Island revealed. And if that doesn't send a chill down your spine, thinking of those little girls in a dentist room on a dentist chair on Lolita Island alone with Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile, another bombshell tonight as damning emails emerge implicating everyone from Prince Andrew all the way to high ups, wealthy, successful individuals within the D.C. stratosphere. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. Jeffrey Epstein, may Epstein rot in hell, pled guilty to solicitation and procurement of minors for sex. Girls as young as 12 years old were flown to Lolita Island. Will there finally be justice for Epstein victims? Well, the so-called Transparency Act, the Epstein Files Transparency Act, has passed. But are there more delays and smoke screens? Is it just a big hoax? Listen.
The Epstein Files Transparency Act passes the House in a nearly unanimous vote and heads straight to Trump's desk for approval.
Mr. President, what did Jeffrey Epstein mean in his emails when he said you knew about the girls?
I know nothing about that. They would have announced that a long time ago. It's really, what did he mean when he spent all the time with Bill Clinton, with the president of Harvard? Larry Summers, whatever his name is, and all of the other people that he spent time with.
Sir, yeah, if Jennifer, there's nothing ahead, incriminating in the file, sir,
Okay, I don't like politics, but I can tell you this much. If I know about Jeffrey Epstein stating that Trump knew, quote, about the girls, then Trump knows about it. So that's deflection at its very best. Victoria Churchill joining us, U.S. political reporter for DailyMail.com on the Epstein scandal from the get-go. It's more than a scandal. This is about child molestation on a worldwide scale. I want the perps behind jail, and I don't care who they are. Why is Trump lying about that? I don't know. Is it because he was friends with Jeffrey Epstein and he thinks it tarnishes him, or is it more? But he is right. People associated with J.P. Morgan, with Harvard, appointees within the D.C. political circuit, they're all going down. Marriages being destroyed, people leaving their jobs, resigning their positions because of Jeffrey Epstein. Do I care? H-E-L-L-N-O. Don't care. I want the people that molested girls as young as 12 years old behind bars, like all the other criminals that aren't rich and politically connected. What's happening? What's happening with the release of the documents, Victoria Churchill?
Yeah, absolutely. So Congress passed, particularly on the House side, the Epstein files. Every single member of Congress except for one voted for the legislation. And then it actually kind of snuck its way through the Senate. They did a legislative move called unanimous consent, where they didn't actually kind of vote on it by voice or by recorded vote. It just passed because it had passed so overwhelmingly in the House. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was able to do that unanimous consent provision and pass that bill, sending it to Trump's desk. Trump signed it. He signed it behind closed doors, which I think is notable because this is somebody that loves a signing ceremony in the Oval Office. He loves to bring people that are related to whatever legislation he's signing in. However, those Epstein victims did not get their visit to the Oval Office. And so that's kind of a contrast that we're seeing between the Oval Office versus members of Congress. Of course, Ro Khanna, the Democrat, Thomas Massie, the Republican, were the leading people that led the charge on this. And then as well as Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has now announced that she's resigning after her very public clashes with Trump over the last few months, particularly on this issue. And so this legislation compelled the Department of Justice to release the files. But some of this footage that we're seeing now was actually preemptively released by Democrats on the House Oversight Committee. And these files dropped, of course, were made public, made national and international news because people implicated in these files, knowingly implicated in these files, stretch not only in the US, but also in the UK. But one thing that I thought was notable is that Thomas Massie, during that last Epstein victims press conference that happened right before the vote on Capitol Hill, Massie actually said that the UK has done a better job dealing with the people related to Epstein in these files, of course, notably Andrew. And I will correct you, Nancy, he is now no longer Prince Andrew because he's been stripped of his title. And so Massie was actually—
It's force of habit. It's very hard for me to call him by his first name, Andrew. But, you know, let me call on a Brit to answer up to that. And I will let Dr. Bethany Marshall drink in the interior of, as I call it, Lolita Island, where girls as young as 12 years old were ferried over for sex with Epstein and his clients and friends. May they all rot in hell. The virginal white, the whole interior decor, Bethany Marshall, just drink that in while I'm with Shooter, because that tells me a lot. And what do you see? The dentist chair. But Rob Shooter, I disagree vehemently with what Victoria Churchill just said, just part of it. Rob Shooter is with me, host Naughty But Nice podcast, but he's author of a brand new book, and it is on Amazon right now. And it's selling out. It's great. I read it. It started with a whisper. I guess you named that. But Rob Shooter, the Brits have done better than we have? That's crap. Technical legal term, may not be part of the British legal system. Is Andrew still living rent-free with servants, drivers, a stable, all the perks? He's not working. They've done nothing with him.
You're 100% right, and you don't feel this alone. The British public is outraged by this. This is a really, really big issue for the monarchy, and they've got to deal with this quickly. The problem they have is that Andrew has a 75-year lease. It is an ironclad lease on this palace called the Royal Lodge. It's 30 rooms and stuff. And so
he's been kicked out of Royal Lodge. Even I know that. So what? So he's been kicked out of one mansion and he's moving to another. Don't care. And you can just take down that Union Jack behind you, okay? Because we here in the U.S. are buying your book and supporting you. And there you are with the Brit flag behind you.
Nancy, I'm a person of the world.
What?
Many countries can enjoy the book. It started with a whisper, which you are right, is an amazing book. So thank you for that. But Andrew, back to Andrew. He's in this Royal Lodge until he really wants to leave. It's a terrible embarrassment. The king wants him out. The public wants him out. He's digging in his heels, which is, to me, once again proving how tone deaf, how clueless this man is. He thinks he's special. He's got away with it.
I don't even know what you're saying. Tone deaf, clueless. Rob Shooter, I don't care about tone deaf. I care about the people. You know what? Let me go to Barry Levine. I'm getting nowhere with you, Rob. You're taking up for your fellow Brits. Barry Levine is with us, author of a bestseller, The Spider, Inside the Tangled Web of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. He is a veteran investigative journalist, editor in both print and TV. I'd like to direct your attention, Barry Levine, to Jeffrey Epstein's dental chair. Can I see the interior of, as I call it, Lolita Island? How many little 12-year-old girls do you think sat in that chair? I don't even want to think about what went on in that room.
Well, Nancy, the room itself is creepy. You have all of these masks of men on the walls. I can tell you from the research I did for my book, The Spider, that Jeffrey Epstein set up that room for his girlfriend, who was a dentist. She was from Belarus. He knew her from her 20s. He put her through dental school, and she would perform dental procedures in that room. What else went on in that room, we don't know. But I can tell you that I would love to see the House Oversight Committee speak to her about what she knew. And I also want to point out, very significantly, that she was the last person to speak to him alive. Her lawyer told us for the book that she had no indication he was planning on taking his life. But this is a woman who is filled with secrets, who had known Jeffrey Epstein for more than 10 years, and I would like to see her interviewed.
Barry Levine, let me have a tiny little lightning round with investigative reporter, journalist, and author Barry Levine. This is a yes, no. That's what lightning round means. Isn't it true that Jeffrey Epstein arranged the transport of girls as young as 12 years old from around the world, the stands, all the stands, Turkey, France, to Lolita Island? Isn't that true?
It's absolutely true. And when they arrived, he had them dressed up in university and college sweatshirts to pretend that these girls were in fact older, looking older. But in fact, the people at the airport knew that they were young kids.
And as of tonight, isn't it true, Barry Levine, that none of the, let me put it bluntly, Johns, the men that were, I'd like to say having sex, but that's not accurate with underage children, that's statutory rape. Anything that they did, any penetration is statutory rape. Anything else is child molestation, which is also a felony. None of them have been brought to justice. Isn't that true, Levine?
It's absolutely true, Nancy. And Representative Massey has told us that there's 20 men that he's aware of that engaged in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking. And why these men have not been brought to justice, to me, that's the number one question that I hope the Epstein files will answer. Why did these men get off? Why did these men not face any type of charges? We need to find out.
You know what? I'm trying, but there's this little thing called Congress and the Oval Office that seem to be thwarting me. Joining me right now is Lynn Shaw, founder, executive director, Lynn's Warriors, committed to ending human trafficking and sexploitation of children. They know of 20, just off the top of their head, the one source. Nothing has been done. It's delay, delay, delay. The so-called Transparency Act went down. Nobody's in jail. Nobody's named. Nobody's being prosecuted. Girls as young as 12 being ferried over to Lolita Island to be looked over like they were pieces of candy in a box of chocolates for old guys to molest. Nothing has happened, Lynn. Nothing.
And I don't like saying this, Nancy. I don't think we're really going to see anything happen. We've been talking about this case, fighting for our victims and our survivors for years now. And yes, we just had the files, you know, Transparency Act passed in November. But you know what? There's a lot of silence on Capitol Hill. I just got back from Capitol Hill and I asked a lot of questions and nobody seems to be talking about it anymore. I don't want to hear about we're going to have more files released because these files just prove to us there's nothing really new in them or everything's redacted so you can't see anything anyway. Our focus is on these victims and their survivors because all of this is, again, this power and this wealth. We're talking about 12-year-olds, okay, 14, 16-year-olds, and nothing is being done. So there is a major failure, a major roadblock, and I really think we're just not going to ever get to the bottom of this. I don't like saying this at all.
Please don't say never. Please don't say never. Please, I've got to have something to believe in. I've got to believe that there will be justice.
Well, here's what you believe in, Nancy. You believe in these brave women who have come forward, who are demanding, who march on Capitol Hill, who have gone to all the women's caucuses. They're going into all the offices, and they are demanding justice, and that's what we have hope for.
To Dr. Bethany Marshall, psychoanalyst joining us out of L.A., author of Deal Breaker. You can see her on Peacock and find her at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, back to the interior. There are about 150 photos and videos, and I would like to see them. Did you see, Dr. Bethany, the virginal, there's a massage room, one of them, the virginal white interior of some of the rooms where the girls stayed? It almost looked like that girly furniture. My sister and I had it. There you go. It's all white, kind of antique white with kind of a French twist to it for little girls. And much of the interior decor is like that. It's disgusting.
You know, Nancy, this is not just an island. This is a sex club. Okay. So If you go inside in Los Angeles, there are a number of sex clubs, swingers sex clubs, nightclubs, and usually they have various rooms or chambers. There could be an underage room. There could be a dentist room where somebody sits in a chair and the dentist comes in and performs procedures. There could even be an OBGYN room where the woman lies back on a table, an exam table, while the doctor comes in and examines her vaginally. So these are all sex fantasies. This is not decor that would go into some average home or a hotel or something like this. This is the decor that you see in sex clubs. And what's disturbing is that this is an underage sex club. So how do you decorate an underage sex club? You decorate it with furniture and decor that a 12-year-old would like. Fluffy chairs, everything in white, something that you could photograph for your Instagram. So this is what I'm seeing in these disturbing photos.
You know another thing, Dr. Bethany? I'm looking at this huge, gigantic kitchen, the beautiful exterior that goes out to the ocean. It's a lavish, almost a castle set on an island. A lot of these girls are underprivileged, like Virginia Giuffre was and many others. I'm sure they've never seen a home like this, Dr. Bethany.
So, you know, we think about sex predators back in the day saying, oh, you know, you want to pet my puppy? Or here's some candy, little girl. This is the new age version of candy and a puppy. You give them a lavish setting on an island with politicians, actors, VIPs, tell them they're going to rub elbows with the rich and famous. And because of that, they might become famous as well. What is that? That's enticing a minor. That's what they're doing. He's enticing a minor with this particular scenario. But you know what he's also doing? He's enticing other sex predators to come to the island. So I think that's what's so amazing about these photos and everything that's being released, is we're going to see the other participants in these scenarios who took place in this lavish sex club for minors on an island. That's what we're seeing.
I've never heard of statutory rape described as a sex club for minors, but you said that I didn't. And I'm going to have to ask Andrea Lewis, who is a partner at the Searcy Law Firm in Palm Beach, Florida, where all of this first came to light when Epstein was actually charged and convicted, got a slap on the wrist, basically. He had a limo driver taking him wherever he wanted, and he slept a few nights in the Palm Beach jail. But did you know, Andrea, I want you to hear this, and Andrea Lewis, thanks for being with us tonight, that the documents that are going to be released under the Epstein File Transparency Act, we, the PAC taxpayers, have already paid nearly $1 million because there is a whole team, 1,000 employees, working overtime, $5,000, 5,000 hours of overtime, $1 million almost, redacting names, redacting the truth. Listen.
The Transparency Act requires Attorney General Bondi to release the remaining Epstein files by December 19th. Information can be redacted if the identity of victims, child sexual abuse materials, national security, or ongoing investigation. Redactions must be disclosed to Congress with the Attorney General's justifications for withholding.
FBI Director Patel assigns 1,000 employees to redact the Epstein files, nearly 5,000 hours of overtime. However, Bondi's Phase 1 release in February contained just 61 of 220 pages reviewed. 70% of the overtime was accrued in March, but only the raw MCC surveillance footage was released before the DOJ's July statement, there was nothing else to see.
Here's a money trail. More than $1 billion in money that Jeffrey Epstein sent out to conduct his sex trafficking.
The proof's in the pudding.
And it's all there. It's all in the financial records.
Nearly $1 million paid for 5,000 hours of overtime, 1,000 employees we're paying to redact the files. So even though we're getting the files, we can't read them. That's what that black Sharpie is. You can't tell. I've redacted files myself.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Lewis, you're a veteran trial lawyer, former felony prosecutor, now with the Searcy Law Firm, Palm Beach. Redaction is approved by the U.S. Supreme Court. For instance, if I had two defendants that I was trying together instead of severing their murder case, if one named the other, I'd have to redact that out. Why? Because the other may not take the stand and subject himself to cross-examination. So you can't have interlocking confessions where one defendant won't take the stand and be cross-examined. There are many reasons, legitimate reasons, for redacting. This is not one of them. So suddenly, we've got another delay while all the minions are redacting the truth out of the files?
Nancy, you just hit the nail on the head. And that is really, really a critical problem here that I think needs to be highlighted. We keep hearing the word transparency thrown around, but is this really a transparent effort to get the truth out if you are redacting all of the critical, relevant information, including names, financial information, and all of the other information in there that could potentially lead to other pedophiles, other wrongdoers being put behind bars? How does that help us? How does that further us getting justice and trying to get justice for these survivors? It doesn't. And the issues that you just highlighted that are in fact legitimate times when redactions would be used in trial, the difference there is, number one, there's a trial, there's a purpose, there's a reason to be doing it. And number two, in those circumstances, you have multiple eyes on them. The defense and the prosecutors would all agree as to what redactions need to be made.
I was just going to bring that up, Andrea. Yeah. For every redaction that I did, the defense had to know about it. For all the parties, the judge had to know about it. The appellate courts knew about it. They had the whole record, including the non-redacted documents. But here, this is all being done in secrecy by minions within the DOJ, Department of Justice. I mean, Barry Levine, author of The Spider, Inside the Tangled Web of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. Oh, wait till you see pictures I've got of Ghislaine Maxwell. Everywhere she goes at her, I call it Camp Bunny. It's for basically people with misdemeanors. She has an umbrella to shield her face. She gets puppy time, umbrella time, and is basically using the chief warden as her personal assistant. I'll get to that later. Barry Levine, what's being redacted? Break it down. Give it to me in a nutshell.
Well, Nancy, first of all, they're redacting victims' names. They're also redacting what they deem national security related to Jeffrey Epstein. That
BS.
We don't really understand, which is BS. I agree. They're also redacting
total
information
BS
that could be used in
national security,
other investigations. Other investigations that they say there are ongoing. President Trump demanded a new investigation related to Jeffrey Epstein for some of his Democratic enemies. So it's quite possible that they're redacting information related to those men. At the end of the day, that is completely wrong. It's disgusting. We need to get to the men who are involved in this.
I wonder if their names are being redacted for national security purposes. Well, in all of the redactions, they seemingly left one redaction out, the name of the victims.
What are the next steps, Madam Attorney General, for the DOJ regarding what we assume President Trump will sign into law with the Epstein files? Is this going to be on the Justice Department website? What are you doing here over the next 30 days as we understand it?
We will continue to follow the law with maximum transparency while protecting victims.
The documents contain dozens of instances of unredacted victim names, spreading panic among Epstein survivors. Attorneys representing victims file a scathing motion with a federal judge, demanding the DOJ improve their review policy to prevent another release of potentially sensitive information.
We were told there would be no new investigations, but guess what? There are. Listen.
Madam Attorney General, the DOJ statement earlier this year saying that the files would not release mentioned the fact that the review of the documents and the evidence did not suggest that any additional investigation of third parties was warranted. What changed since then that you launched this investigation?
Information that has come for information. There's information that new information, additional information.
Days before signing the Transparency Act, Trump orders the DOJ to investigate Epstein's ties to Bill Clinton, former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers, and LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman. Also, a full review of J.P. Morgan Chase's failure to report Epstein's suspicious financial activities until after his death. These new investigations may postpone or halt the release of any more Epstein files.
Victoria Churchill, political reporter for the DailyMail.com. So victims' names managed to be outed. Many more names have been redacted. And now a new investigation is being launched into political enemies that are named in these documents. What this is a delay. New investigations mean a delay in releasing all the documents. That's what's happening right now. Do I really believe any of those people are going to be prosecuted? No, I don't. This is another delay tactic.
Yes, absolutely. You're completely right on that, Nancy. And this was something that members of Congress, particularly Thomas Massie, who, of course, we've mentioned several times on the show today, this is something he warned about. And this is something that he was asked about because this was a reason that Speaker Mike Johnson didn't support the discharge petition originally, is that, you know, he wanted to protect the victims. Exactly. And so what Massie had actually said about this on Capitol Hill numerous times is he said that the DOJ can't open enough investigations to keep all of these files shut.
Why do we still not have the Epstein files? Well, there are a lot of theories out there. Listen.
The Epstein files didn't just drop yesterday. They were dragged out of a system that never wanted us to see them. So ask yourself, what kind of a democracy needs a discharge petition to expose a sex trafficking network? The Epstein files dropped, but no client list, no flight logs, and definitely no accountability. And the DOJ, they might still be holding the most critical documents, surveillance footage, internal memos, names that connect the dots, and they've got cover. Ongoing investigations, privacy laws, pending review.
That's from Jane's On Point One on TikTok. Barry Levine, he's right. You don't have to have an LLM from NYU to understand what's going on. The guy's right.
Nancy, he's totally right. But the fact is that part of that discharge petition says that they can't hold back names of third parties who have not been charged, just not to embarrass these men.
And there's more.
But let's be real. If this were anybody else, it'd be public, dissected, and turned into a docuseries by now. But when it's billionaires and presidents, suddenly it's all sealed and sacred. This isn't about conspiracy. It's about consistency. Justice doesn't get to hide just because the names are expensive. Justice for survivors means full transparency. No exceptions, no delays, and no deals.
The cover-up is so massive because if I was being accused of anything like this, I would want everything to come out to exonerate me. And he's not doing that. So let's see what happens.
That was at James On Point One TikTok and This American Mess TikTok. You know, when you have the public speaking out so vehemently, how can DC afford to sit back and do nothing? We know we're getting stonewalled. Now political rivals are being investigated, 5,000 man hours of redaction, $1 million for minions to hide the truth. How long can they do it? Lynn Shaw, who is hurting now, are the victims. You think they care about third-party investigations, about $1 million worth of redaction? These then girls, now women, are suffering for the rest of their lives over what was done to them on Lolita Island.
Yeah. And here's the thinking behind the scenes that I've been told. Delay is the way. We'll keep kicking this can down the road. We will exhaust the public. We'll use everything in our power to not address this. And everybody eventually will just go away. That's what they think. But I'm here to say the group of survivor women that are so strong that have come forward, not only for themselves, but for all the women who have not come forward. I remind everybody, we're talking about children at the time. Sex trafficking rings and all this of minors. Why is this such an issue? Why are they allowed to get away with this?
Well, of course, in the midst of all the accurate analysis, you've got bizarre conspiracy theories emerging. Listen.
They don't want to release the Epstein files because Epstein's not dead. You could not pay me enough money to believe that that man was dead. He was too valuable to the whole system. So instead of him rotting in prison, they faked his death and got him out so he could continue to run everything that he was running. There was no way, absolutely no way, that the bigger powers that be, you know, the leaders of other countries, were gonna let him die. He was far too valuable. So someone has him in another location and he's still running this whole thing. That's what they don't want to come out. Obviously, the pedo and, you know, that kind of stuff is just the tip of it. He's not dead. That's what they don't want out.
Okay, it's making my head hurt. At Karma is a cat 1717 on TikTok. Epstein's dead. Okay, so let's just start from there. Okay, and of course, conspiracy cover-up theories.
They're not this dumb. Trump, Bongino, Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, they're not this dumb. You don't get into those positions of power by being stupid. And I say this because it's just not sitting right with me. The film that they released, obviously edited, proven that it was edited, missing a minute of time. The whole cover-up here is glaringly, obviously a cover-up. And they're definitely lying, but I don't know why they're lying. What's the angle?
That is from at Brian Wifa Y on TikTok. To Sydney Sumner joining us, investigative reporter, Crime Stories. At first, he sounds a little crazy, but what he's saying is not crazy. There was time. There was a portion of the jail video. I'd like to see it as we're talking about it. The jail video the night Epstein was killed behind bars, that was missing. He's actually right.
He is. And they had to eat their words and re-release that video with the missing minutes 2 months later. And all of this coming out with that statement, so they released the surveillance footage that's obviously edited with the statement that there's no more documents to see. Well, what did those 5,000 hours of redaction go into? Because it's not possibly the 220 pages they reviewed and released back in March.
And, of course, there's a never-ending stream of theories. Now, I've got to say, Brian Wifa Y was dead on, but listen to this.
New polls are coming out that are showing nearly 70% of Americans, 7 out of 10 people, believe that the Epstein case is being covered up right now. It's no longer a conspiracy theory anymore. It's a vast majority of Americans saying, I don't trust what the government is telling me right now. But can you really blame us, though? I mean, Epstein died under the most questionable circumstances possible. I mean, the guards were asleep, there's no surveillance footage, and the client list is still sealed. The fact that Republicans and Democrats are uniting on this issue should absolutely terrify the elites.
Actually, he's not crazy either. That's at Devin Politics on TikTok.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Lewis joining us, partner Searcy Law Firm, Palm Beach, where the whole thing started when Epstein was convicted, but got a baby sentence for it. Andrea, I recall a big drug case. It was a triple homicide that was connected to a drug case. A triple homicide. It was very difficult to prove, very difficult. Near the end of the case, I found out the feds had surveillance that they would not give me because it was part of a bigger drug scenario. I'm talking about a drug lord from Colombia was part of this. It was so much bigger than my triple homicide case. And I really wrestled with that. At the end of the day, Andrea, all I could do was what I could do. I prosecuted the three murders and got convictions. And here, all of this vast network, this worldwide scheme, the politics, the Oval Office, the Democrats, the Republicans, I know one thing. These men need to be prosecuted, and I want their names. That's what I know is true.
Nancy, we need that information, and I think it's important for each one of us to keep our eye on the ball and to continue to demand it so that we can get justice for these survivors. And what has been constantly talked about in the media, and you've done an excellent job of highlighting it and keeping it in the headlines, is what is the cost of the secrecy that the government is continuing to insist upon? Well, it's this lack of transparency causes a distrust within the public. It causes conspiracy theories. It allows the people who are enablers and predators to have time to cover their tracks. Meanwhile, anybody in these powerful positions have to do is say, enough is enough, release the names, release the information, the public deserves to know, and that is not happening.
Will we finally get the documents necessary to create that client list?
The judges should release those documents.
Depositions, filings, motions, subpoenas, affidavits.
This is what the public wants to see. We're talking about serious investigative materials that function as evidence.
Rob Shooter, Congress is calling on Andrew Windsor, a.k.a. Prince Andrew, to fly over at our expense to testify about what he knows regarding Epstein. Listen.
A congressional letter invites Windsor to testify about Epstein's crimes. It appears Windsor has no desire to clear his name, refusing to comment on Epstein's financial records containing notations such as massage for Andrew.
As Windsor remains silent amid a renewed push for the former royal to come clean, victims are now calling for the rest of his family to answer for him. Marina Lacerda says it's time for Sarah Ferguson and Princesses Beatrice and Eugenie to come forward. Andrew publicly used his daughters as an alibi.
The more documents are released, the more trouble Windsor could face. Stripped of all titles, told to vacate the Royal Lodge, and under threat of private prosecution, jail time could be a real possibility. Experts believe there is more documentation of Windsor's crimes with Epstein. There's a real danger those records will still not see the light of day.
Why is he being treated differently than everyone else? He's refusing to come and speak to Congress. Why? Because he's got a lot to hide, Rob Shooter.
You're absolutely right, Nancy. Andrew's not going to do this. He's made it very clear. He's not going to voluntarily do this. So now it's time for us to make him do it. It's time for King Charles. It's time for the royal family. It's time for the British government to absolutely hand him over. He's not going to go willingly. We've got to hand him over. And until we stand up and do that, he's going to continue to hide, to get away, to slink in the shadows. And so I think it's time now, Nancy, that the Britain has to step up. The palace has to step up. His children has to step up and say, here he is. We have to hand him over.
We know that Prince Andrew is now trying to reunite with his ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, who has lived with him throughout the years. I don't think they're both going to fit into his new abode. However, we have arrangements for both of them. They're called the Big House and the Big Doll House. They can live separately for a while. More people are ending up as casualties to Epstein, and that would be Princesses Beatrice and Eugenie. They are going to have their title stripped. It's seemingly only a matter of time. They are now turning down invitations from the royal family. They're torn between standing by their dad. So far, they've remained unscathed. What is in their future as a result of all this?
Their future, Nancy, is in the hands of their very shady father. If Andrew can't do this for himself, and he clearly can't, and he can't do it for the victims, which is who he should really be doing it for, do it for your kids. The only way these two princesses have a future in Britain, have a future in society, is if their dad does the right thing. Now, we should point out, historically, this is a man who has always done the wrong thing. So I'm not holding my breath here, and I fear that the children will be punished, although I should say here, they have had an extraordinary life because of their father. And so when we say they did nothing wrong, maybe, but the life they live is because of their privilege. Should that continue now that we know the truth about their dad? That's a debate that people are having. I don't want to punish children for their parents' crimes, but they're part of this story. They're part of this story.
So they're casualties. Sarah Ferguson, grifter, is a casualty. But now Fergie and Andrew are launching a rebrand. What is that?
It is complete stupidity. It is a couple that thinks they have a future and all that they have that's a problem is a PR problem. And it's not. This is much, much deeper. This is unfixable as long as Andrew does not come forward and tell the truth. And if he does tell the truth, we know what that truth is. So that is not fixable here. Any attempt to rebrand themselves, to have a new image, as if they're putting out a new pop album, as if they're Taylor Swift or Madonna, will not work. This story is going to stick to them for the rest of their lives and potentially their children too.
Well, one more issue regarding them is I don't believe, without Virginia Giuffre alive any longer to testify against Andrew, that may be a dead end. But what about the possibility, Rob Shooter, that Andrew can be prosecuted for misuse of his position and misuse of the Met, the Metropolitan Police, and or Scotland Yard?
Yeah, I think both are very, very much a serious issue for him. If he indeed encouraged, demanded his security to dig up dirt on victims, that's a very serious crime. Plus, we've got to remember too, Andrew's finances are very dodgy. Nobody really knows where his money comes from. The royal family do not like to talk about money. They don't pay taxes on all their income. There's lots of loopholes here. Andrew has opened up a kettle of fish now for all the royals because now people are wondering, how is he paying? What is he doing for a living? How does he have all this money? And so the investigations into Andrew are just beginning. They're far from over.
And I do not remember anything. I can't, I've racked my brain. That's me, but whether that's my hand or whether that's the position, I have simply no recollection of a photograph ever being taken.
From our friends at BBC, we still believe in justice. We still believe, even if it is naively so, that there will be a verdict that speaks the truth if we don't give up. If you know or think you know anything that could help this case, call the National Human Trafficking Tip Line, 888-373-7888. Repeat, 888-373-7888. We remember an American hero, Detective Timothy Jones, Park Forest PD, Illinois, shot in the line of duty, leaving behind grieving parents, had only been on the force less than a year. American hero detective Timothy Jones.
Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.